Well, joining me now to speak more about this issue is Associate Professor of Management from Curtin University, Julia Richardson. Welcome on the show, Julia.
Yeah, good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well. This is clearly a serious issue and one that has been around for some time. I mean, the struggle of athletes, I mean, such as Dan Vickerman and Grant Hackett, highlight the challenges that retired athletes face in transition after their sporting career. Why does this seem to be such a continuing problem?
Well, to be honest, I think there's lots of things going on here. It's interesting where, you know, many of us, we think about, you know, struggling. There's a lot of talk about struggling with failure and the idea of failure, but there's also an idea of how do you struggle after you've had success? Because many of these athletes have success that, you know, many of us could never dream of in the public stage, you know, achievements in their own sporting domain. And then the question is, how do you deal with life after success? And I think that many of them have struggled with that. They struggle to adjust to the, you know, opportunities in the broader job marketplace. And I think when, you know, they have difficulties with substances, either when they're playing or they get into it after they've stopped playing, then I think that creates even more difficulties for them. That's certainly what we're finding in our research.
And I just
it's a very difficult thing.
I just want to touch on the idea of using illicit substances either during or after an athlete's career. That's something that we see a lot of. So I suppose there's a few issues that come about here. One of them is about employment post their careers. At some places, it's very hard to get employed if you have done illicit substances. And in addition to that, I suppose it's also important to ask, you know, why is it that players might turn to this as you know, a means of kind of coping?
I think, well, I think, you know, I think what's important to know, obviously, it's not just restricted to sports. We find that in many domains of life today. So I think we need to remember that this is something that doesn't just happen within professional sport. It happens in many domains, you know, work domains and so forth. And actually, many industries are struggling with this. But I certainly think that it's something that players and ex-players need support with, absolutely. You know, both in the men, they're looking to transition out of the sport, and even some years after they've transitioned out of sport, when they're trying to reformulate their identities, you know, and pursue a career in maybe a similar or a completely different domain. So it's all about transition and getting that transitional support.
And what about contact sports that endure a high amount of head collisions, you know, rugby league, AFL, in terms of a few local ones here that definitely produce that. Obviously has a big impact on players' actual mental capacity, and there's a lot of research that's come out in the last kind of 5 years or so highlighting the effects that concussions can have later in life.
I think that's, I certainly think that's something that's going to require a lot of our attention, certainly, obviously, and just over the weekend in the Australian, there was a big feature on the front of the sports page there about how this disease, what they call, is stalking the NRL, and I think that's quite a difficult barrier that we are going to have to face. And, you know, when players are in very high contact sports, when they're having to deal with the difficulties, the pain, you know, of joints that have taken really quite a beating throughout their careers, and how are they going to manage when they're actually very young guys, you know, and women in their 20s and 30s, and they have to, you know, deal with pain management for the rest of their lives.
And just on this idea of after, you know, the rest of their lives, how do the struggles with professional athletes face during transition phase in their lives relate to their ability that they can actually translate their skills to another industry or job market?
I think so, Miles. I think there are lots of things going on. I think there's issues to do with the extent to which they can recognize that skill transferability, you know, leadership skills, stamina, determination, all the things that they've learned, teamwork. And we know that teamwork and those soft skills are absolutely transferable into the job marketplace. So it's their perception of whether or not they think their skills are transferable. But it's also in the broader job marketplace, you know, the recruiters. To what extent are the recruiters going to be able to recognize that these athletes have much to give? And I think it's about trying to overcome the barriers in both camps. So from the individual athlete's perspective and from the recruiter's perspective.
Sports an industry that's heavily televised and it's viewed by millions of people. Does that fame that an athlete incurs during their respective career, does that become a negative aspect for them upon retirement?
It's mixed, to be honest, Miles. I mean, some people we have spoken to as part of the work we're doing have said, you know what, I'm just relieved to be able to walk down the street and enjoy time with my family and not be bothered. And then others say, yes, they do miss that recognition. So it's kind of a mixed bag. I think, however, for some people, that high public profile can be somewhat problematic simply because people in the job marketplace are unable to see them as anything else but an ex-wallaby, or an ex-docker. Or they're always looking at them in terms of what they used to be, as in their past, rather than trying to imagine their future. Well, what can they be? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe it was the BBC's Norman Drummond that asked, you know, what may become of you? And I suppose if you have such a storied past, that what may become of you may be something that's kind of hard to really flesh out and identify.
One of the things we have been doing as part of our study, we've been looking at these blogs and websites, and I'm just looking at one now from Chrissy Wellington. This is an Ironman world champion. She's just amazing. And she talks about, you know, she wanted to be the best that she could be, but then she's got to look out to her future. You know, and she says that the decision to retire didn't come easy, but then she says she's got to look into trying to create a different image of herself in the future. So it's about that looking forward. And just like for you and me, the future isn't always rosy, you know, that we look ahead and we are somewhat anxious about what is to come. But these men and women in sport, I think they deserve our recognition. They absolutely deserve our support.
Indeed. We can hopefully help as a society to make those outcomes better for people. What are the kind of policies that can kind of be explored by the sporting clubs or government even to try and help this transition become smoother?
Well, I think one of the key issues when these people are actually playing sport, looking at what is their lives are going to involve after they finish. So many sports teams today, and in Australia actually, they have what they call personal development managers, or they may be called professional development managers, and they're supporting the athletes to engage in some kind of education or some kind of training outside of their sport so that when their playing days are over, they've got something to go to. So it's about that skill building prior to leaving the sport. And then once they're making the transition, it's about giving them some support during the transition, helping them with things like job searches, interviews, connecting them with people outside of sport. And then maybe even for 1 or 2 years later, I think buddy systems are very important. You know, it's part of our study. Even whilst we see a lot of problematic cases in the media, there are many, many men and women out there who have made some really powerful transitions out of sport. They're doing really well professionally now. So that's not to say that everybody finds it easy. Many people do find it very difficult. It's not something that comes easy to many people, but there are some very positive cases out there, and I think we can use them as role models to help the other men and women who may be struggling with the transition. And I think as a society, we have to take some responsibility for that too.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Julia.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
Yes, that was Associate Professor of Human Resource Management from Curtin University, Julia Richardson, who joined me to speak about the continued struggles that athletes face upon their retirement from professional sports and what are the causes for such struggles. Now, if you or anyone you know has been affected by mental health issues or difficulties or that raised any concerns, please do call Lifeline on 13 11 14. That's 13 11 14.